This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're with Julian Ng, Wong Xiaoning and Sharat Abdullah. Fitch Ratings recently issued a report and they're saying that Asia-Pacific banks are facing rising exposure to property risk. In fact, Fitch sees that Australia and New Zealand as the most exposed to property stress, while Sri Lanka, Mongolia and Vietnam face elevated risk due to their low absorption buffers. For more of a deep dive into the Malaysian situation, we now turn to Ng Wee Siang, Senior Director of the Bank Ratings Team with Fitch Ratings. Good morning, Wee Siang. Thanks for joining us. Before we dive into the Malaysian market, let's take a wider look to see how does the Malaysian market compare to the rest of the region.
The Malaysian banks are very exposed to the property sector in the Asia-Pacific region. If you look at just purely Malaysia alone, relative to other Asia-Pacific countries, they are the third most exposed to the property sector. Even if you look at the Malaysian households, they are the most indebted among the emerging Asia countries. The household debt-to-GDP ratio for Malaysia stood at about 82%, and that's considered as high even compared with certain developed and high-income countries such as New Zealand, Korea and Taiwan.
And the rise in property exposure is mirrored by Malaysia's high household debt-to-GDP ratio, which was around 83% at the end of 2018, one of the highest in Asia-Pacific. Now, as you mentioned, how concerned are you about the household leverage?
I think the number, the good thing is the number has actually come off. About 4 years ago, if I remember correctly, back in 2014, the number was 88%. So the saving grace is the household leverage has actually come off from 88% to 83%. So that's a positive. But even having said that, 83% is still a very high number. As I mentioned earlier, Malaysian's household leverage is the highest among the emerging Asia space. It is only slightly lower than that of developed and higher income countries such as New Zealand, Korea, and also Taiwan. So this basically makes Malaysian households susceptible to an economic weakness or sectoral downturn. So in our view, the risk actually lies in the lower income segment, i.e. those earning less than 5,000 ringgit a month. And these people tend to be more leveraged and hence have lower income buffers. These borrowers also tend to borrow on less favorable LTV terms as well.
And Wee Siang, if we look at the Malaysian banks, do they have enough buffer to absorb stress from the property sector?
This really depends on the level of stress that you are referring to. In our view, if you are talking about moderate level of stress in the property sector, I think the Malaysian banks are positioned to face a moderate level of challenges in the property sector, given the fact that they have a relatively quite healthy capitalization ratio. If you look at the entire industry, the Common Equity Tier 1 ratio that we commonly look at, that number was about 13%. As of last count. And also at the same time, the Malaysian banks are generating decent amount of profits, and that should help also cushion potential provisions coming from a moderate level of stress in the property segment.
What do you think the banks should do? Should they slow down their lending to the property sector?
It is not our policy to provide recommendation or advice as to whether banks should or should not be doing. But from a credit rating standpoint, what's more important, in my view, is whether banks undertake prudent measures to mitigate their risks in the event of a property market downturn. Loan growth may be slow, but if it continues to be channeled into the high-risk segment, i.e. the high rises, it could also still be a concern.
And there's also been a lot of talk in Malaysia about the property overhang and what to do about it. However, beyond the property sector, this is something that could potentially impact Malaysia's banking sector as well. What exposure do Malaysian banks have to property risk?
If you look at the latest data disclosed by Bank Negara, Bank Negara mentioned that banks have manageable exposure to riskier commercial property segments such as offices and shopping malls. These segments account for just about 3.4% of total system loans and just about 4.6% of corporate bonds and sukuk. These numbers certainly don't look big at all, but the reality is, you know, if something bad were to happen to the property sector, it is our concern is more to do with the secondary effect from a weakened property market. So the secondary effect could have a wider impact on the economy and hence the banking sector.
Thank you very much. And that was Ng Wee Siang, Senior Director and Senior of the Banking Ratings Team with Fitch. It's quite on the one hand, the exposure in the banking sector to property is quite low. But on the other hand, he's worried about the very high household debt, which, according to the report, Malaysia is number three after New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah, at 83%, right? Although it has come from the highs of 88%, which is why when you look at some of the analysts, they say that, okay, one solution towards the property overhang situation in Malaysia is to actually really kind of focus on the demand, which is to relax the lending. I'm not in favor of that when you look at the number of 83%, right? Because at the end of the day, if you allow the wrong group of people to lend, then it's going to be difficult or it's going to be worse off for the economy in the longer run, right?
You're talking about new homes, is it?
Yeah, or home sales, you know. I mean, people say, okay, why don't you just relax the prudent lending guidelines at the bank level? Be a little bit more flexible, allow people to borrow, maybe lower the LTVs. I'm not so sure that's the solution because maybe perhaps that might actually end up a bigger pickle for us at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that I thought that property loans were good loans because it's secured against an asset which would rise over the long term.
But provided that property remains, the price stays up, it becomes a problem when it declines, right? Then you're, as a homeowner or a lender, you're facing negative equity.
So this is my question, is it? Will homeowners actually on a daily basis go out there to check their home prices and say, hey, my home price has declined by 5%, and 5% would be a big margin already, and when that happens, I'm not going to pay my loan?
So far, we haven't seen that because I think Malaysia, since 1997, we actually really haven't seen home prices come down very significantly, right, where homeowners face negative equity. I think it's more the case for the home buyers that speculated, that own more than one property, mm-hmm. then this really becomes an issue.
Yeah, that's a very small crowd out there, right? The people who speculate on property.
What is funny is that those who speculate really big time, right?
Right.
For most buyers, they tend to be maybe one or two homes, which is probably explained why we haven't seen this fire sale of property in Malaysia as of yet. Unlike in some jurisdictions, like in Hong Kong, example, if there was a oversupply, you would see property prices come down very fast.
So I was just looking at the list of all the countries, at least within Asian Pacific, and I think put aside Australia and New Zealand, Malaysia is by far amongst the highest, at least within the Southeast Asia, when it comes to property-related loans as per banking system assets. So we're talking about as high as 30%. And also, I think I took interest in when he was saying how exposed we are, with regards to our commitment to the property sector and, the property sector towards our economy. And I think that's why, could that be the reason why government, like it or not, they are putting a lot of emphasis on trying to get those properties sold?
I mean, just listening to him talk and reading the Fitch report, I think things seems stabilized at this point in time. It's not as high as some of the other countries around the region. If you look at the exposure, they rate Malaysia as a medium exposure with a medium buffer, whereas some of the other countries in the region have got very high buffers, even if their exposure is very high, like Australia. And I guess this is the question for me, is whether the government should devote a lot of time in supporting the housing market, for example, through policies like the Home Ownership Campaign, which they have reported since January this year, they have secured bookings for local houses of about 10 billion ringgit, and 6 billion ringgit worth of houses have obtained some loans, and the 4 billion ringgit have not obtained the loans, are in the process of doing so.
Yeah, so I mean, just more on that, right? So what for example, what Zuraida is saying is that based on her observation, is the bank approval rate for the affordable home purchase has improved, and there's also the One Malaysian People Housing Program, which has achieved good take up rate under the HOC, which in total has 16,200 affordable homes under Prima, which was sold under this HOC. So, I mean, a big number of big number of homes that has been sort of released or sold.
Which just proves that there is demand for homes. It's just that there is this terrible mismatch between what people want versus what's available in the market. So if there is an affordable price of a home in the right location, there will be buyers. Unfortunately, there is a lot of oversupply in the wrong area and overpriced. Now, how are we going to work it through the system? Now, the issue is if this puts a stress on the banking sector. And as we all know, banks are a barometer of our general economy. So if banks don't do well, you know, you might see a repeat of financial crisis we saw in 1997. I think that's why there's this always fear, you see, sector exposure.
You don't want to have a campaign where you encourage lending to the subprime sector, right? Lending to people who cannot afford to service their property loans. All right, we're coming up to the 7:30 news. And after that, we'll look into some international headlines. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.